Tango Tango Papa 2042, October 10, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from some place called Rufus, Oregon. So it's been about a month since the last podcast. I was home for 5 days. I came back to work about three, four days ago, came back to work, and so, in any case, right now I'm on my way to Clackamas, Oregon, which is over near Portland. Deliver there, the load I have delivers at 1 a.m. Tonight, so it's kind of in the middle of the night. So today's October the 1st, so it'll actually be on October 2nd. And after that, I don't know, hopefully they'll come up with some other load or some place for me to go. Because at Clackamas, Oregon, might have a hard time finding a parking place if I have to sit very long. So, but as it is, I'm about, what does the GPS say, 114 miles from the destination, right here where I'm at. So I'm east of the Portland area, along Interstate 84. If you've never been to this area, it's kind of a beautiful area. I don't think I'd want to live in Oregon, especially in Portland, which seems, if you follow the news at all, Portland seems like it's their politics are just utterly insane. They've got some really insane people that have been sort of, for whatever reason, have been attracted to Portland, and it's just you know, kind of utterly insane what's happened with their with the politics, the political stuff that goes on there. But nonetheless, and it's probably because it's a it's along the coast. But otherwise, geographically, of course, this Oregon, most of it is pretty rural, and this is a rural part of Oregon where I'm at. It's sort of Interstate 84. Kind of parallel, or at least in part in a good chunk of the state, it parallels the Columbia River, and so you know the interstate runs right along with the river. And so when I right here where I'm parked at Rufus, Oregon, I can just kind of look across the river, and the river, at least right here, the river forms the state line between Oregon and Washington. So you kind of look over to the other side, and that's Washington over there, or the state of Washington. And this is all, this particular area, you've got mountains that sort of rise up on each side of the river. And so that's one of the reasons that the river sort of runs along the or the interstate, rather, sort of, they built that right alongside the river because it made it much easier, because it's pretty flat as you, you're on your way from, the eastern part of Oregon to the western part of Oregon and the part that runs along the Columbia River. It was convenient for them because it's fairly flat and it's nice. It's very scenic, and you've got the reservoirs. Of course, the Columbia River is where the, you know, you have the salmon, you know, kind of whatever breed of salmon uses that river to, you know, go back to their breeding grounds. So it's all very interesting. There's documentaries about the Columbia River Basin and the dams and the salmon and, you know, all very interesting, and it's very beautiful. Very beautiful scenic place to visit. As I said before, would not want to, you know, knowing what I know about the politics, would want no part of it. No part of the state of Oregon. They can keep it. So, so I was home for the past, you know, I was home for 5 days. My parents are actually there. And we also, some other relatives came. There was the annual bikes, blues, and barbecue motorcycle rally that happened in Northwest Arkansas. And so I deliberately coincided my time at home with that, because in some, you know, we have some relatives that came down from Kansas and what have you, and so I got to hang out with them as well as my parents. And so then next time I go home, which that reminds me, I need to, it's too late to do it today, I need to let them know when I need to be home again. I have a nephew that's getting married, so I want to make sure that I'm there for that. And I've also, during those, the period when I'll be home in October, I also have another dental cleaning appointment. So I need to remember to do that. It's actually too late to do it today because company operates on Central Time. I'm in the Mountain Time Zone, and so right now it's all, you know, it's 3:30 something Mountain Time, so it's after 5 Central Time. So need to remember to get a hold of my asset, so-called asset manager, and let him know when I want to be home again. So, you know, got to, you know, for the wedding, nephew's wedding, and another dental cleaning. So, not a whole lot's been going on. I keep following kind of news headlines, and of course the news, if you follow the so-called mainstream news, is just becoming more and more insane. It's just more and more fake news. And, you know, so we have fake, not only do we have fake news, we've got fake weather, practically. You know, you had this, I didn't follow it very closely, but there was some snow that came, like in parts of Montana and upper elevation places, you know, in the mountains, you know, and they were hyping that up as much as that, you know, up to 50 inches. Oh my God, it's Armageddon. Well, it's just a snowstorm. And if you live in, you know, you're at the higher elevations, hey, it's going to snow. Some of the snow at higher elevations never melts. Thus, you end up with snow-capped mountains that, you know, that never, you know, it never melts, or rarely melts. So they just love to, you know, it's all about getting you to, click on whatever, or so that, you know, they can count as an ad view. And it's really, that kind of mentality is just rampant everywhere. And then plus you have the people that are actually, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post. Those two newspapers in particular are particularly dishonest. And, you know, they're coming up with these orchestrated stories to try to, you know, they're trying to, as the Noose Titans, as the Vice Titans, kind of around the so-called deep state actors, they are coming up with orchestrated stories in an, you know, in a futile attempt to try to, you know, turn everything around and blame Trump. And, you know, ideally they'd love to get Trump out of office and go back to their old ways. You know, it's kind of, you think of it as an alcoholic that's sort of on the last ropes, that, you know, has to do, you know, has to quit drinking or whatever, or a drug addict, you know, it has to change. And there, or maybe a better analogy would be someone that's getting kicked out because they're an alcoholic or they're a drug user. I think that would make a better analogy. They're trying to twist it around so they can kind of get back in, or somebody that's being thrown out of whatever, they're trying to figure out how they can get back in and get, you know, back, you know, business as usual. So that makes, that's a better analogy, and that's literally what they want to do, is sort of go back to what they were, you know, doing before Trump was able to get in. And you know, and the reason Trump was able to get in was because there's enough voters that were fed up enough that you know, they wanted to, they were tired of the same old shenanigans. But you know, so they're insane, and you know, I stopped talking politics with my parents sometime, you know, it's been quite a while now. I just will not talk, don't bring any politics up with them, don't want to hear it, you know, and they've kind of stopped too. But it was kind of interesting, you know, I have one of my cousins that came down from Kansas for this motorcycle rally, Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue last week, was talking to my mom, I heard him say, well, I, you know, something to the effect that my mom may not necessarily like Trump, but she sort of, you know, he's not that bad, you know. And I think at one point she was really programmed to kind of hate him, and, you know, so on and so forth. Because I never really just haven't discussed it with them. But it was interesting because it sounds like she's gotten to the point where she just sort of, well, maybe he's not so bad. You know, and I think it's because the economy, probably one of the big reasons is because the economy's in pretty good shape. Generally speaking, the economy's pretty darn good. And I think that ends up kind of counting, you know, so... But that's just a, you know, one instance, and just, you know, one little anecdote. But I do not discuss politics with people. I've stopped it. Don't, you know, you're never gonna convince them. If they're gonna change, they're gonna do it on their own. And you know, far be it from me to think that I'm gonna somehow change their minds. Persuade them with logic. It's not gonna happen. They're going to have to, if, you know, sort of realize on their own that their emotions are insane. And no amount of logic can persuade someone that they're insane. And emotions are a form of insanity. Sorry. I know some people that really makes them bristle, but it's true. And the only way that someone that's insane, that's caught up in emotions, can be redeemed from that condition is they have to realize it for themselves. That's it. That's the only way. Only option for them. So, anyway, I've got a clip here from Joel, the you know, I've been, you know, kind of, Joel sent it just, you know, almost right away after I published the last podcast about a month ago. He sent, you know, he responded on via Voxer and sent me the voice file via Voxer. And so I've been kind of carrying it around for a month. But so anyway, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel here. Nice to hear from you on your podcast. Been a while. That's okay. Everyone deserves a break. I haven't done a podcast, at least the one I did all by myself, in years now, which is hard for me to believe. I always thought I would do that, but it just got to be less fun. So, and it's more fun being on a show with multiple people like I am on the Linux Link Tech Show, which is a little bit more geeky. I mean, we talk about Linux, but we also talk about comic books and movies and all sorts of stupid geeky stuff. So that's our show. But I'm talking now, basically looking at your last show there, and you're talking about, you know, the news media and all that, and I generally have been ignoring most of it, although I do follow and actually kind of enjoy picking apart some people. And I know I'm not going to be able to change anybody's minds, but I just think back to the Star Wars movies, specifically the first six, where whenever Yoda would talk about hate, and that's what the left has right now. They have such a hate for Trump, they can't even look at the good things that happen. You know, like, I guess the tariffs to China are going into effect. And all the left and all the Democrats I see who comment on articles and leftist media will say that it's all horrible, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, if you guys actually ever look into how most of that stuff that comes from China is actually made, you probably wouldn't want to buy it anyway. Because people over here talk about people working in a fast food place, supposed, you know, they should have $15 an hour minimum wage. But then you gripe when the tariffs go up, it's going to cause that piece of crap thing you bought at Walmart that was made in China, its price to go up. And American products now become more competitive so that we're not at such a trade deficit with Asia. You know, the logic is gone on that side. Totally gone. I don't support everything Trump does, but I have to defend him almost on a daily basis, especially if I'm online, you know. You know, that's it, just it, you know. And then you get cases like this hurricane where you get, I think official forecasts don't have it getting to a Category 5, but you get some sort of idiot local news guy who says, oh, this could go to a Category 5. Well, yeah, it could, but is it forecasted to go there? No. You know, and some of these people, like the overreaction they had on the citizenship rules with the military, you know, and they can't even go on what the actual agency says, which, you know, the agency is just a federal agency. And directly, yeah, kind of Trump's involved there, but the agency itself came up with the recommendation. You know, and it's just people just, if anything, even if it's a section of the administration that Trump doesn't have any appointees in, if anything comes out that's semi-negative, It's all his fault. Yeah, and it's just it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And there's no convincing them. There's no argument with them. Although I'll admit it, it's kind of fun arguing with them. But, you know, and the same thing goes with, like, you know, where, you know, they're blocking, like, there's people I know that do YouTube shows, live streams usually, where they had gotten enough off of their AdSense, their YouTube AdSense, that they could basically just do YouTube. The one guy I listen to on a nightly basis and a daily basis, because not only does he does a show with a group of people at night, but he does one late night, real late night, early morning too. He goes by the name Ranting Monkey on YouTube, and some of his stuff's just getting demonetized. And this is a guy who is disabled. He can't do a real job, and the only thing he can do is YouTube. And he was able to help his wife support him and his wife by doing YouTube videos. And then now, because he has controversial views, i.e. conservative views, 90% of it. Actually, he's more libertarian, but a lot of his stuff will get demonetized. And then what's even funnier is in the chat for the live stream, if you're listening to the live stream, because his name is Ranting Monkey, if you try to mention him in the chat, it actually won't let you mention him. It actually censors it out. And people think censoring talk they don't want to hear will actually make it go away. And actually, it just doesn't. It just makes it more insidious. And that's the thing that people don't really realize, especially the left, is that when that starts to be censored more, people are basically giving up freedom for the case of security. In a lot of cases, it's either security or supposedly safe, being safer. Yeah, so it's just a crazy world we live in now, you know, and it's concerning. It's concerning.
Thank you, Joel. Yep. So there are a lot of people that have been either demonetized, and it's most, you know, it's on the right, and YouTube isn't. Google really isn't even trying to hide it at this point. You know, they maybe if they're in front of Congress and they'll say, "Oh, we don't do that," and then, you know, yeah, they are. And it's built into the algorithms at this point, looking for, you know, certain types of words. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, the algorithm is trying to look for certain keywords that people are using, and then, you know, prevent that, and certainly the chat that you were talking about. And, you know, there's always been some degree of that. And so, of course, there's ways around that. You know, if you want to, instead of typing, you know, in this case you were saying Ranting Monkey, what you would do is, you know, it's a little harder, but you just leave a space in between each letter. So R space, A space, N space, T space, I space, in space, G space, it's so on and so forth. You can still type it in there. Same way with URLs. URLs have been blocked forever on YouTube, you know, at least a long time. So, you know, the way around that, you know, you can leave out, you know, don't make it as a URL, just leave spaces. You know, so there's various ways that you can get around so, you know, so-called content filters. And what, you know, it's not that they say, well, we don't want to be offensive, or we don't, you know, somebody might be offended. What their real motivation is that they think that they can stop people from communicating. That's really what they want, to engineer communication so that you'll come to their conclusion. It's the same thing with the, you know, as I've said for years, news media will give you just enough information so you'll come to their conclusion. That's the goal. And so now, you know, the Silicon Valley monopolies are trying to do the same thing. And, you know, they should have, I don't know what the answer to that is, break them up. I think that, you know, of course, could a thing like YouTube exist without all the ads, you know, without Google, you know, of course, Google probably, you know, has the biggest ad network, and they also happen to have YouTube, and they, you know, they've ended up becoming a monopoly. And then if they want to manipulate that, you know, it seems like they're willing to leave money on the table to push their own political agenda. And so there they are, you know, and obviously Hollywood's doing the same thing. You know, that you look at how, you know, you go back to the Passion of the Christ movie, that, you know, the Mel Gibson movie, Passion of the Christ. Or if you remember how controversial that was, you know, and they turned Mel Gibson. He became, you know, he was the devil after that movie. And that movie grossed well over $1 billion, and, you know, it didn't cost that much for, you know, the production cost wasn't that high, and it grossed a tremendous amount of money. And so there, you know, Hollywood could make movies that the public would love, but they won't do it because they think they want to control the message. They want to control, they think they're going to re-engineer, they're going to engineer utopia. They really believe that. Or they just want, you know, they want to engineer as many people as possible that don't have a conscience, you know, thinking that that's kind of utopian. If you can just do away with conscience, do away with any sense of right and wrong, that everybody's going to be happy. And of course, it's exactly the opposite. If you don't have a sense of right and wrong, there's about a 100% chance that you're miserable. You're just a miserable so-and-so. If you don't have any guiding principles, you're pretty damn miserable. You know, personally, you feel miserable. And, you know, getting people to admit that, you know, might not be, you know, or to just admit that that's why they're miserable. They'll come up with other excuses for why they're miserable. You know, it's this innocent person's fault over here. It's, you know, it's their fault that I'm miserable. It's not because I don't have any principles myself. It's because they have principles. That's why I'm miserable. They have principles, and somehow their principles are making me miserable. So, but I don't know. I still watch a lot of videos on YouTube, and, you know, the creators are, of course, the video creators. You know, pretty much all of them, most of the ones that I watch are complaining that their views are down, and, you know, the videos aren't being recommended, and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But, of course, you also have the problem, you know, Google is deliberately manipulating their statistics. And I, you know, as a, you know, early podcaster, and I had some, obviously, I, you know, was one of the first 1,000 podcasters. I had obviously had some success back then as far as apparent podcast listenership, the numbers. And one of the things I learned early on was do not pay attention to the statistics, you know, because the statistics can be wrong. And, of course, one of the things I noticed was that, you know, someone starts podcasting or video, put it videos on YouTube, the first thing they do is they start to live and die by those, you know, the viewership. You know, how many people are listening? How many people are watching? And if those numbers aren't just constantly the same or better, they get depressed over it. And I can tell you why. The reason is because they think, oh my God, I've got so many people paying attention to me. You know, I must be something special. They get it's kind of like someone gives you a compliment about your new shirt or your new shoes or your new car or whatever it is. And then, you know, you get this big charge out of it, and then you become addicted to it. And then if the numbers go down, God forbid, you're depressed. You want to stop. Or you feel it's horrible. So that's one of the mistakes that people inevitably make, and they're deliberately messing with their, with the view counts and, specifically on YouTube. So, and any other problem, when you're working on someone else's platform, it may seem cool and maybe you're making a little bit of money and what have you, but what you have to remember is that you don't own the platform. And so therefore you are at their mercy. And it works basically the same way as, I'm driving a truck for a trucking company. I have to live by the trucking company's rules, whether I like it or not. If I want to have the opportunity to drive the truck and make a wage, then I have to do it sort of by their principles, whether I like it or not, take it or leave it. And so, it's up to me to, it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. And, that's just the rules of doing business or driving a truck. And different companies have different policies. So sort of the same thing applies. So, there are ways around it. If you want to, do a podcast, for example, you sort of don't go through some third party. You sort of do it all, pay for it all yourself and promote it yourself. And of course with YouTube, the temptation is, they're providing everything. Well, the problem is that they can also take that away. They don't have to be perfectly fair. And even if the law says that they should be, obviously they're not. They're not being perfectly fair. They're manipulative. They're trying to manipulate. They think that it's their fault that Trump got elected. And they're doing everything they possibly can to try to stop that from happening again in 2020. Including Google and all the Silicon Valley, so-called Silicon Valley giants, along with the big left-wing newspapers and mostly left-wing media. They're all trying to, they think it's their fault that Donald Trump got elected, and they're trying to twist that around so they can reprogram everybody so that we'll all vote for Hillary. By the way, she's running again. Don't know if I've said that before, but I think I have. But I think she's going to be the one that's running again. I think that Joe Biden, all these the people that have been participating in these debates, Joe Biden and Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, etc. They are all, there's no way they can, they don't have a chance against Trump. The only one that has any chance at all against Trump is Hillary, and I think she's just going to just sort of drop in at the last minute. Watch for that to happen. She's going to drop in at the last minute, and she's going to be the nominee. And there really is no Democrat Party anyway. It's it's just a Clinton political machine. It still is. It's still, it's ran by Bill and Hillary. It's a Clinton political machine, and so look for Hillary to be back. Don't be shocked. But I think Trump is going to win again, and I think eventually justice is going to prevail, but it's slow. So, but in the meantime, we've got, you know, and it's hard to say what the percentage is, but there's a lot of crazy people. There's people that have lost their minds, and then some of those people, you can't, you know, it doesn't do any good to argue with them. Some of them may come around. But if they do, it's like I was saying earlier, if they do come around, it's going to be because they sort of got tired of their own insanity. They're going to have to realize on their own that their emotions aren't doing them any favors. You know, and at the end of the day, you have to realize, you know, if you make any progress at all, personal progress, it's out of your own realization. Someone else can kind of help you along, but you have to sort of be receptive to the message and that other person's trying to tell you. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to sort of come to the realization yourself, and that applies to everyone. And so, you know, you got the crazy people, and they're just going to have to remain crazy, you know. And you know, there is no there really is no solution to it. It's you know, once you go, you know, you kind of go off the emotional cliff, you've gone into a bottomless pit, you know. So you know, so anyway, it's the best thing to do for people that, you know, you want to maintain your sanity. Best thing to do is just, you know, kind of shut the stuff off, and to a large extent, and just sort of realize that they're crazy, they're insane, and you know, to help you put it in perspective, it's just think of it as sort of like a really dysfunctional family with you know, with one parent that is just just utterly insane, and you know, trying to get, you know, turn the kids, you know, use the kids as sort of a proxy war, you know. And the kids in this analogy would be the general public. They think they're going to reprogram everyone into and then they're going to have their leftist utopia. Of course, that's just hell on earth. So, but as they try to stamp out any kind of principles or conscience. So, anyhow, what else? I think I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned in the last podcast I had to buy a mower. I think I probably did. So the mower, you know, the John Deere mower is, I mowed again when I was home, and the grass had, was really kind of out of control. It usually is, and it has been this year, especially because we've gotten lots of rain. So it, you know, when I get home again, it'll be I'll have to mow again. It shouldn't be quite as tall this time. So anything else? Of course, I have the Roomba S9 vacuum cleaner with the auto emptying bin feature. Very happy with that. That's working pretty good. They've added little, you know, these keep out zones to the app, where you can put little keep out zones into the, you know, the map that of your floor plan that it generates. And you know, so I started experimenting with that, and you know, I don't run it when I'm not there, because there's nobody in there, and you know, there isn't, you know, might be a little dust that gets in, you know, that settles or whatever when I'm gone. But so I do, you know, I run it whenever I'm home, and you know, and that's obviously when the most debris is going to accumulate, is when I'm actually physically present. So you know, that, but I'm really happy with that, with the, you know, and then the other nice part about the robot vacuum cleaner like that is that I can just have that thing run the, you know, vacuum basically, and it does a really good job actually, because I'm not going to physically do it with a regular vacuum cleaner. I'm not going to manually vacuum every time I'm home two or three times. That's just not going to happen. You know, there may be months in between when I actually would vacuum. Eventually I'd get around to it, so, but now with this robot vacuum, I just start it off, and you know, it doesn't matter how long, you know, how long it takes it. You know, it eventually gets it done, and I'm pretty happy with, really happy with the results. So right now I'm not thinking of anything else that I'd, you know, that's worth talking about, so I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.